We're gonna sing. We'll do several requests. We're just gonna go with old IFB on you and just do the first and last. So the first one's gonna be song 133.
It don't have one verse.
So we'll do the first and last. All right. So if you know it, sing it out. Here we go.
Safe wherever I go.
Song 319 is the first and last. I'm going to try here if you know it. Let me try and get this. I don't know this. You start saying, here we go, all the first.
I am weak, but thou art strong.
I rest me.
that day before Thanksgiving. And sorry, no offense. Christmas songs? Uh-huh. Nice try. I appreciate where your head is, where your heart is.
Where is the next one?
112. Man, how does this start? Alright, here we go. 112. Christ's name we pray, amen. So I'm going to preach a sermon tonight. Obviously, to the ladies, I was told you got to go preach this, but it's got to be to the ladies. It's got to be a ladies' sermon. Mrs. Anderson told me that. I said, well, no woman's going to tell me what. Just give me my I am preaching a ladies' sermon. This might be my last sermon. This up much longer. Last sermon is deepen. But I thought, when I started thinking about it, there's so many ladies in Scripture that we could talk about. The Bible talks a lot about ladies and women, and I want to just look at four particular ladies tonight, all by the name of Mary in the Gospels. There, if you want to go over to Luke chapter number two. Tonight we just go through and look at several different examples of the Marys, the four Marys in Scripture, and just make application as we go tonight. Of course, the first one is probably the one we all think of, Mary, the mother of our Lord, the Virgin Mary. And what I want us to know, first of all, is that, I think Mary serves a great picture of somebody who obviously was used mightily by God, but wasn't perfect. Sorry to any Roman Catholics that are not here, but, she's not perfect. She did a lot of great things for God, obviously. And what we can learn from this is that as ladies, you need to learn to serve despite your shortcomings. Really, that goes for everybody. We all want to serve God, but we're going to have shortcomings in our lives. We're not going to be perfect, so we should learn to serve despite our shortcomings. And, you know, Mary, I think, is a good example of this. And, of course, you know, when she had a very humble attitude, you know, she wasn't perfect. And I doubt there's any lady in here that would say, well, I'm perfect. You know, brother, you're wrong. This isn't going to, you know, I hope you got a better point coming up after this. But, you know, when Mary was confronted and told, you know, by the angel that she was going to bring the Lord into the world and said that she was highly favored and that the Lord is with thee, she didn't say, well, duh, you know. Yeah, it's about time somebody acknowledged my better attributes. You know, I've been waiting. How long did it take? No, she was. The Bible says that she was troubled at that saying. You know, she was a very humble woman, but you know, she wasn't perfect either. And I think, you know, an example of this. And we're not trying to pick on her or fault her. She might take me aside when we get to heaven, grab me by the ear, you know, and give me a what for. But remember the story when Jesus was 12 years old and they went to Jerusalem at the feast. And, of course, as they're going back there, it says, verse 43 of Luke chapter 2, where you are, when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child that Jesus carried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in company, went the day's journey. You know, whenever I've read that, I've kind of thought, did you just let the Lord back in Jerusalem? You know, I mean, it's one thing, kind of, where does my child have? Where do they go? Maybe let them go play around or whatever. But when you go a whole day's journey and you're not and you've left the Lord behind, you know, it just kind of shows you that maybe Mary was a little absent-minded. You say, well, no, she had a reason here. It goes on, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance, you know, because they assumed that he'd been in the company. And they found him not, and then they turned back again to Jerusalem. So, you know, maybe that's not, you know, the best example of how she isn't perfect. We know she isn't perfect. And she did, you know, kind of forget here that lost track of the Lord, basically. And you look, she's a humble woman, and she loved the Lord, but, you know, she wasn't perfect. And she, no mother is. You know, no mother is perfect. And again, there's no lady in the room that's going to say, no, brother, I'm perfect. You know, I've got this mothering thing nailed down. But here's the thing. I think that sometimes a lot of ladies might look at other ladies and say, well, they have it all together. They're perfect. Or they don't have the problems that I have, or I wish I could be more like them. And look, we don't want, it is important that, you know, we learn, that the ladies learn from one another, and that's taught in the Bible. You should learn from other ladies, but, you know, you shouldn't compare yourself to other mothers. You shouldn't compare yourself, well, see, she's better in this, and she's better in that, and wish I could be more like that. Now, it's good to learn from them and things like that, but I think sometimes ladies have a tendency to kind of put themselves down a little bit, saying, well, I don't measure up, I'm not good enough. The fact is, no mother is perfect. You know, Mary wasn't perfect. You know, no mother is perfect. They all have shortcomings. They all have faults. They all have trials and troubles. You know, the thing is that, you know, people don't broadcast those type of things. And we might get an idea of, you know, saying, oh, somebody, you know, they're perfect in every way. That's because they're not telling you all the struggles and the things they go through. Now, again, we should definitely learn from the other ladies. If you want to go over to Luke chapter 8, the Bible commands that the women teach, that be teacher of good things, that they teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So there are some things that the elder women are to be teaching the younger women. And we should definitely learn those things. You know, like the younger ladies should be learning those things from the elder women. But they should never get this attitude of, well, I'll never be able to do that. They're always going to be so much better than me. You know, maybe there are some areas that some ladies are better than others. But you know what? Everyone has their strengths. Everyone has other areas that they can excel in. We don't want to get into this habit of comparing ourselves among ourselves. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that those that do so are not wise. That if we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. It's great to learn. But you shouldn't turn that into, you know, a source of, well, a feeling that you're not going to measure up. Like, you know, I'm never going to be able to be as good as them or excel in this area like they do. Learn from them, but we all have our different strengths. Because here's the thing. We all start out in different places in the Christian life. No one starts out in the same place in the Christian life. You know, some ladies are going to come to the Lord later in life. Some ladies, you know, there's a lot of young girls in here that are going to grow up in a Christian home, they're going to have a head start that maybe a lot of ladies in this room don't have. You know, they're going to be brought up in a Christian home. They're going to be taught how to be keepers at home. They're going to be taught and they're going to see an example of a lady who is, you know, submissive to her husband, who loves her family, loves her children, goes to church, loves the Lord, and serves the Lord. They, you know, the girls in here, they're going to have that advantage. But look, we didn't all have that. Not every lady starts out with that in the Christian life. And I think another good example of that is Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, which is the next Mary we're going to look at. And I think what you can learn from Mary Magdalene is you need to learn to serve despite where you start. Serve despite where you start. It doesn't matter where you start in the Christian life as long as you start. Now, I'll read to you from Mark 16. It says in verse 9, when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. So, you know, that's saying that, you know, Mary had a past. I mean, she had a pretty obvious past. When you're having seven devils cast out of you, you probably didn't have a very good life leading up to that point. Your life is probably full of, you know, trials and tribulations and struggles and just oppression. I mean, you're possessed by seven devils. Life is very hard. But that didn't stop Mary Magdalene. She decided to just start serving where she was, even though she had a past. And quite frankly, a past that might have been very obvious to other people. You know, she might have, everyone said, oh, there goes Mary. You know, she's got those seven devils. Look out for her, right? But here's the thing. We shouldn't let our past stop us. You know, ladies need to learn to start, to serve where they start. And here's the thing. Mary wasn't the only one in that case. You know, this is probably the truth for the majority of people, not just in this room, but in just, you know, churches like ours, that most people are coming to the Lord later in life. If you look there in Luke chapter 8, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women, that's plural, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. So look, this isn't just a rare thing. And, you know, that's not, it's unfortunate. You know, we wish everybody started out in a Christian home, started off life on the right foot. But the, you know, looking at the silver lining, the bright side, means that, you know, churches like ours are reaching people. Are reaching people where they are, no matter where they are. And it's great to see people coming in that maybe they don't have all their spiritual ducks in a row. Maybe they're not just, you know, dialed in on the Christian life. But that's a sign of a healthy and thriving church. When you have people like that coming in and growing and doing what Mary did, where they just decide, you know what, I'm going to start serving where I am, no matter what my past is. It didn't stop them from serving the Lord. If you look at verse 3, it says, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him out of their substance. So this didn't stop these ladies from serving the Lord. They didn't say, well, you know, if I was more like, you know, Mary, the mother of our Lord, you know, I'd probably, you know, she started off on the right foot, I could probably do more for God. You know, I'd be more inclined to try and serve the Lord if I had a life like hers. No, that didn't stop these ladies. They went on and just kept on serving God anyway, despite of the, you know, the rough past that they might have had. So the application is this. You know, don't write yourself off because of your past. Don't write yourself off because you've made some mistakes earlier on in life. You know, there's somebody we all know named the Apostle Paul, and, you know, he was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. You know, he was a pretty wicked guy before he got saved. But, you know, he said he was the chiefest of all sinners. And I'll just read to you from 1 Timothy. He said in verse 16 of 1 Timothy 1, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life after lasting. Paul's saying, look, the fact that I was, you know, a sinner, the fact that I was injurious, the fact that I was the chiefest of all sinners and got saved, is a testimony to the fact that God can still use somebody like that. He's saying he was a pattern to them. That's me and you. Them which thereafter should believe on him after life everlasting. That's us. He's saying you should look to the Apostle Paul as an example of somebody who served God despite his past. And I mean, Paul had a pretty bad past. I don't know if there's anyone in here that's going to say, well, I'm a persecutor and injurious and the chiefest of all sinners, but that's what Paul said he was. And that didn't stop him. He went on and did probably, you know, the greatest works for God that anybody has done on this earth. That's my opinion. You know, so no matter what your past is, you can still go on and serve God. In fact, Paul's saying that's the pattern that God shows us in Scripture. That's the pattern we saw with Paul. That's the pattern we see with Mary Magdalene, somebody who decided to just start serving despite where they started. Maybe it was, you know, wasn't the ideal upbringing, maybe it wasn't the ideal early life, but praise God, you got saved, that's where you started. So serve where you start. And don't count yourself out. You know, on that point too, don't count other people out. You know, this is something that I have been in ministry a couple years now, and I've seen this time and time again in you know, multiple ministries where people, it's like they start writing off other people. They just say, well, you know, they'll start even going to the place where they'll start plotting against other people and trying to get them thrown. They'll come to staff members and say, well, so-and-so said this, and they said that, and, you know, Matthew 18, and it's like, well, here's the real answer. You need to grow up and get over it and get along and be nice and be civil and all of that. So don't count yourself out, but also don't count other people out. You know, don't count out some other lady who maybe you know she has a rough past, maybe she has made some mistakes. You know, be a blessing to that person. Reach out to that person. Be an encouragement to them. Don't look down your nose at people like that. So serve the Lord where you start. That's the example of Mary Magdalene. And, you know, serve with the substance that you had. It said there in Luke that they served unto him, they ministered unto him, verse 3, of their substance. They took what they had, and that's what they gave. They took the substance that they had at that point, you know, and they ministered unto the Lord. Then say, well, I'll serve God later, you know, when I have more time, when I have more ability, when I have more knowledge, when I have more whatever. They served them with the substance that they had at that moment when Jesus was there. That's what we need to learn to do. Don't wait to be ready. Just start where you are. Serve despite where you start. And why is that? Because, you know, the Lord doesn't bless, you know, your perfect past. You know, for the Lord, what he blesses is faithfulness. That's what God wants to see more than anything, I believe, out of people. It's just people being faithful. That's what he blesses. And that's really what Mary Magdalene did. You know, she just started serving God where she was, and she was faithful, and she got a really big blessing. If you want to go over to John chapter 20, she got the blessing of being able to be the first person who saw the resurrected Lord because of her faithfulness. You know, and she was there ministering unto the Lord. She got saved. She got those devils cast out, and then she started ministering unto him with her substance. She started, you know, where she was, and she was faithful all the way through. Even under the crucifixion, it says in Matthew 25 that many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. So she was one of these ladies that was there at the crucifixion. She was faithful with the Lord even up unto that point, where even it seemed like everything had just fallen apart and the world was going to end. But she stuck with it. And then even beyond that, you're there in John chapter 20, look at verse 1. She was one of the first ones to go to the grave. And it says in verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark. I mean, she's one of the first ones there. You would think, oh, surely it's the Apostle Peter. It's John that's going to be there first. They're the ones that want to go and anoint the body and have this time of mourning and all of that. No, it was Mary Magdalene, a lady who's just started serving wherever she was. Despite her past, she just stayed faithful. And here she is, getting up early when it's dark. She's going under the sepulcher, and she sees the stone taken away. And then, of course, we know the story. They go, and she tells the other disciples, and Peter and John come. And it says in verse 10, then the disciples went away again into their home. So they show up, and they're kind of like, huh, he's not here. And they just went home. But Mary Magdalene, it says there in verse 11, but Mary stood without the sepulcher, at the sepulcher weeping. She didn't. That wasn't enough for her. She's like, well, Peter and John don't have any answers. I guess I'll just go too. She had her own burden. She had her own walk with the Lord. And she just stood there at the sepulcher weeping. And it says in verse, and it goes on and says in verse 11, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked in the sepulcher and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto her, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I will ascend unto my Father and to your Father. So she, you know, through her faithfulness, gets this huge blessing. I mean, wouldn't you want to be, I mean, if that were me, I would probably, I would boast about that a little bit. You know, Peter and John were there, but I got first, right? I mean, everyone's there, gathered. A few days later, Jesus shows up in the midst. You know, he eats some fish and some honey. Everyone's like, wow, this is cool. And Mary's like, I've been telling you. That's what I'm saying, right? That would have been, that's a pretty big blessing. Now, how did Mary get that? Did Jesus just draw her name out of a hat and say, oh, I guess we'll show myself to Mary first? No, I believe he chose Mary. He allowed that to happen because of the fact that she was somebody who just started wherever she was in life. You know, she didn't have that ideal upbringing, but she stayed faithful. She was there. And she's the only one that's showing up early in the dark, weeping here. And she sticks around even after the disciples go home. And she gets this blessing through what? Through faithfulness. That's what the Lord's going to bless. He's not going to bless our perfect past. Now, great, it's great to have the great upbringing. You know, we need to do that for our children. If we haven't had it, at the very least, we should do that for our children. But here's the thing. God's going to bless anybody who's faithful despite what kind of past that they might have. Now, if you would, go over to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. This is, you know, this is interesting. She gets to see this. You know, she's faithful. Mary Magdalene's faithful. She gets this blessing. And then Mark 16, verse 9, says that when Jesus was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom had cast out seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with them, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, leaped for joy and said, oh, great, I'm glad Mary came to share the good news. No, it says they believed not. They heard her, she came, and they just were like, whatever, Mary. What'd you get possessed again? You know, they just didn't believe her. You know, they're doubting Mary. You know, there she goes again, old Mary, right? But here's the application. Look, it doesn't matter who believes you when you've seen the Lord for yourself. Do you think Mary walked out of there going, oh, they don't believe me, feeling all down about it? She's like, you losers. Bunch of suckers. You know, she's like, you're the ones missing out. You know, I got to see him. Look, it didn't affect her faith. She just kept right on believing. She kept right on rejoicing. And she knew it was coming. So, look, when you've been saved, you've seen God work in your life, does it really matter what other people say? And here's the thing. If you're going to be faithful, if you're going to love the Lord and you're going to serve God, you know, especially as a lady in this culture that we're living in, you know, you're going to have some haters. You're going to have some people that are just going to not going to like the fact that, you know, you have a multitude of children. You know, that you're submissive to your husband, that you are a homeschooler and a homemaker. But that's not what the world's promoting out there. You know, they look down on that. They're going to try and make you feel bad about that. They're going to try to cast out. They're going to be like these disciples here. They don't want to believe that. That really shouldn't be what affirms you in your Christian life, what other worldly people say. You know, it should just be the fact that you love the Lord and you're faithful to him. If you've been saved and you know what God has done in your life, it shouldn't matter what the people say. You should just keep serving God. Now, I want to wrap this up here by looking at just two more Marys. Go over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We're going to look at Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. We looked at Mary, the mother of our Lord. You know, very humble woman. Not perfect, but, you know, humble, used mightily of God. You know, had kind of an ideal situation, you know, so to speak, spiritually starting out from a very young time in her life. Then you had another Mary, somebody who had a very rough time, but through her faithfulness, you know, was blessed of the Lord and got to have a real special blessing from the Lord when other people were missing out just for the fact that she was faithful. But now we're going to look at Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And what we can learn from this is that you say, well, how do I serve? This is great. You know, you want me to be faithful. You want me to serve God. Well, you know, you serve by, again, you know, making a sacrifice of your what? Your substance, of making a sacrifice. And if you look at John chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. So, hey, I can relate to that. You know, they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus is one of them that sat at the table with him. So it says in verse 3, and then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So she's making this sacrifice of what? Of something that was very costly. Now, you know, you might not have some super expensive bottle of perfume, and you know what? The Lord's not here for you to do this. But, you know, you can sacrifice something that's very, you know, precious, which is time. You know, your time invested in your family, your time invested in your church, your time invested in other people, you know, that's costly. We only have so much time on this earth. There's only so much time that we get to do what we're going to do. And it's real easy to just be selfish with that. And just say, well, I'm just going to go live it up. I'm just going to make my life about fun and adventure and traveling and doing all these things and care nothing for the things of God, care nothing for my family, and let everything just kind of go to pot there. But look, you serving your family, you taking care of your family, you're fulfilling God's role for your life. That is a sacrifice of what? Your time, your abilities, and so on. And here's the thing. Why is it that she was willing to make this sacrifice? She said, well, it's just the right thing to do. I mean, obviously, it's the Lord. If I don't do this, you know, I'm going to look bad. Something like that. No, the reason why she did this is because of the fact that she was grateful. The context is he's showing up to their home where Lazarus was, which had been dead. This is her brother. I mean, she's just so grateful for what the Lord has done in her life in raising her brother from the dead that she's willing to make the sacrifice. And, you know, in our churches, we, really just through Bible preaching, you know, ladies are going to probably, if you're not, you haven't heard already, you're going to hear some things that are pretty countercultural. Be a keeper at home, you know, have kids. You know, that might cause you to bristle. You might be saying and say, well, I don't know if that's for me. You know, that, and again, it's a sacrifice, but just consider this. Consider how much God has done for you. You know, we can apply this, you know, and I'm making it specific to ladies, but this goes for all Christians. You know, we should consider what God has done for us. You say, well, I know I should serve, you know, I'm supposed to serve God. I'm supposed to fulfill my role as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father, as a soul winner, as a church. I'm supposed to do all these things. I know the Bible has all these rules. I've heard the preaching. But why should I? Well, that's kind of a selfish attitude. The reason why you should do it, at least it should be your motivation, should be because of the fact that you're grateful. You should look at what God has done in your life. If it's, you know, you being saved, other family members being saved, all the great things that God has given us and blessed us with, you know, that should make us want to make a sacrifice. Even if it's some, you know, something that's very costly like this. You know, some people would look at that and say, man, not only is she anointing the Lord, I mean, she's anointing his feet. You know, that's not exactly where you put it, isn't it? It's like here, right? I saw my mom doing that, right? Those are the scent spots or whatever. It's not the feet, at least, unless I missed out on something. I don't know, right? But look, it's, you know, when it's the Lord, it doesn't matter what he wants, when he wants it, it's the Lord. We should be willing to give him whatever he wants. And we will if we're grateful. So, you know, if you're struggling in that area of saying, well, it's hard to be what, you know, the Bible tells me to be as a wife and mother, maybe you just need to park it a minute and just think about, well, what has God done for me? You know, maybe you need to kind of spiritually try to look across the table and find Lazarus in your life and go, well, at least he did that for me. That might make you a little bit more motivated to just give God what he wants. Go back to well, I got to move along. Let's just go over to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. You know what? I'm sorry. We got to go to Luke 10. We got to go. Because this is, you can't talk about Mary Magdalene and not, or excuse me, Mary, the sister of Martha. You can't go to this passage. This is what I never thought about. I thought I'd go to the end. You know, the most important thing is, you know, we have all these relationships in our life, but the most important one is the Lord. You know, you're not going to be a faithful Mary Magdalene. You're not going to get those blessings if you don't make the Lord number one in your life. If you just start going through the motions as a wife, as a mother, as a Christian, you know, it's going to be a hard life. It's going to be a long, hard life if your motivation is just because I have to. But if your motivation is I want to, the Lord's done so much for me, and you make him your number one relationship, you know, that's when things are going to go well. That's when you're going to get that blessing. Luke 10, verse 38, now it came to pass as they went, they entered in a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. I feel you today. Came to pass and said to him, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid him her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, was she doing bad things? I mean, she's serving. She's trying to get the meal together. She's trying to minister to the Lord. I mean, she's cumbered about all these things. But Jesus is kind of rebuking her, you know, lightly here and saying, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know, the Lord, what he really wants is not just our service. He wants our attention. He wants that relationship that we can have through prayer, through reading, his word, through fellowshipping, you know, in the spirit with the Lord. You know, that's a real unique opportunity that we have as Christians. You know, this isn't just something that we do out of, you know, religious formalism or something. We believe that we have a relationship with God Almighty. That's a pretty powerful thing when you think about it, that we can fellowship and we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in trouble in time of need. I mean, we say we're the only ones. We say, well, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, if we really believe that, we would appreciate what a unique, you know, opportunity we have to just pray to the Lord, read his word, and have that relationship. And look, you got to have that. That has to be the most important thing in your life, having that walk with God. Because, you know, being covered about all these other things, even good things, you know, those are the things that are going to wear us down. And we're going to throw up, you know, throw up our hands and say, why am I even doing this? And we might even forget why. The reason why we should be doing all these things is because we love the Lord. So let's look at the last Mary. We're going to go over to Romans chapter 16. Now, this last Mary, all I can call her is Mary of Rome. That's all we really know of her. Of course, the book of Romans was written to the Romans. Paul's writing to those at Rome. And it says in Romans chapter 16, verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia, unto Christ. Verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed a much labor on us. And that's all you hear about this Mary. Then it goes on and says, verse 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who are also in Christ Jesus before me. So it's just interesting that you have this Mary in verse 6 that really don't know anything other about her, other than the fact that she bestowed much labor upon the Apostle Paul. And she's kind of sandwiching here between these just two powerhouses of the faith. I mean, we know about Priscilla and Aquila. We read the book of Acts and all the great things that they did. You know, this Andronicus and Junia, his kinsmen, his fellow visitors, who are of note among the apostles. I mean, these are kind of the big names, right? These are people that were well known. And he's kind of pointing out, also, don't forget Mary, though. And I like this Mary because I think this is pretty relatable, especially, you know, maybe we're not going to be the ones getting up and doing the preaching. We're not going to be the ones that have the spotlight on us and have our names mentioned. And I guess even have coloring books made of us now. Right? We're not going to be the famous ones, right? We're not going to be the Priscillas. We're not going to be the Aquilas. We're not going to be the note among the apostles, you know? But we can all be the Marys. You know, we can be Marys if we're willing to kind of just have that type of position and do what it took for Mary to get that nod from the Apostle Paul, to kind of get that shout out, right? He didn't just say, greet Mary, period. He said, great Mary who bestowed much labor upon us. So that's what got her that shout out. And even among these other, you know, giants, quote unquote, of the faith of Paul's day, is the fact that she brought much labor on us. So she ministered to who? Paul. Now look, all the other Marys we talked about up to this point are Marys that were there with the Lord when he was on the earth. They were ministering directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, we can't do that today. Today we minister unto one another. You know, we minister unto the church. We minister unto, you know, Mary ministered unto the man of God. She ministered unto Paul. You know, we might not serve as any of these other Marys, but we'll serve as the Mary of Rome if what? If we serve by faith. You know, we have to learn to serve by faith. That's, you know, what's going to keep you in it. You know, I was talking about how we can have this unique relationship. You know, we can be like Mary, who was sat at the feet of Jesus and just, you know, took in his word, listened to what he had to say, had that relationship. But look, that comes by faith. It'd be pretty easy if the Lord just showed up. I mean, we could have that relationship. He's right there. But that's not the case today. We have to be like this Mary, who, after Christ has gone, after he's resurrected, after he's ascended into heaven, we have to believe that we're laboring to him by faith. And we do that by serving one another. Go over to Hebrews chapter 13. We have to learn to serve by faith if we're going to serve the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, whom having not seen, ye love. Whom having not seen, ye love. Though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, if we really believe the things that, you know, we preach and teach and we read in the Word of God, we would love the Lord and we rejoice by faith. We serve him by serving his people. The Bible says in Galatians 5 that we should, by love, serve one another. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. So that's one way to serve God, isn't it? We were just doing that through the singing before the sermon tonight. You know, we were offering sacrifices unto his name. We were praising God. We were giving thanks. We can do that in prayer. But, you know, that's not the only way we serve God. Look at verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. You know, there's actions that we have to take, too, if we're going to serve the Lord today. By faith, we have to learn to do good and to communicate, forget not to communicate. You know, we should be ministering of our substance, giving of our time, serving where we can. And again, you know, ladies, a lot of times they might be discouraged thinking, well, I can't really serve God because I'm at home with the kids. But that is the role of God. That is serving God. Yeah, that is one of the most important things you could do is serving the Lord. You know, I was preaching another sermon recently about Timothy. What a great man of God Timothy was. And when Paul finds Timothy, he was of note among the brethren. You know, he found him that way. Paul didn't make him that way. Now, obviously, he took him under his wing and taught how to, you know, start churches and all that. But he took Timothy with him because he was of reputation among the brethren at that point. But who got him there? Well, it was his mother and his grandmother. You know, it was his mother, Lois and Eunice. They were the ones that, you know, taught him the word of God and taught him the scriptures that were, you know, that he knew of a child that were able to make him wise in the salvation. You know, so don't ever think that, well, me just staying at home and raising the kids and keeping house, I can't serve God. That is serving God. That is the exact role God has called you to. So do that well, you know, and that's how you're going to minister unto the Lord today. But you know what? You have to do that by faith, don't you? You have to believe that. You have to believe that that is serving God. Now, the world's not going to tell you that. The world's not going to say, oh, yeah, that's what serving God is. But you know what? You'll believe that by faith when what? When you sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary. When you sit there and you have that relationship, then you'll get up and you'll serve and say, this is what God has called me to do. You do that by faith. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll end there. Because here's the thing, you know, ladies are going to probably just, honestly, by the world, even in our circles for the most part, it's kind of a go unnoticed. You might feel like that. Like, you're kind of going, obviously, ladies know one another and things like that. Which, again, like this Mary of Rome, you know, you're not going to be of note among the apostles. You're not going to be, you know, these great, you know, giants of the faith. But here's the thing. If you serve God by faith, there is going to come a day when you are going to get that acknowledgement. You know, the Bible says that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And I believe this. I believe there's going to be probably a lot of godly wives and mothers that are way ahead when it comes to rewards, even of a lot of men of God, even of a lot of pastors, through just their faithfulness, through just, you know, loving the Lord, having that relationship. I mean, go back to Mary Magdalene again. I mean, she was just a lady who had a rough start, had seven devils cast out of her, but she's the one that got to see Jesus first. And the other, you know, the apostles, you would think that's what his number one priority would have been. You know, she might not have been of note during Jesus' ministry, but she got that blessing. And look, a lot of ladies here, you might not have the world praise you and lift you up and acknowledge you, and you might go unnoticed. But here's the thing, there's coming a day when God will reward every man according to his works. Look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who shall bring both to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make counsel make manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So this isn't an entirely negative verse. Obviously, when he's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness, he's going to expose wickedness. But he's also going to make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. God is going to exalt some people. God's probably, I believe, going to exalt a lot of godly ladies on that day. There's going to be a lot of ladies. But you know what? You have to believe that by faith. Yeah, I can get up and say it. And I get up and preach it. And you can even read it in the Bible for yourself. But you have to have that relationship with God. And you have to be in his word. You have to be at his feet. You have to be praying. And you have to believe that by faith. And if you can do that, you're going to be like this Mary of Rome, who is going to get the nod one day, all right? But you've got to believe that by faith. So I hope that was an encouragement to you. These are just four ladies. There's a lot of other ones we can look at in Scripture and learn a lot of things from. But we should learn that none of us is perfect. Even if we think somebody else is perfect, they're not. We should definitely learn from everybody we can. We should never, compare ourselves to other people to make ourselves feel inadequate. We should learn to be like Mary Magdalene. Just start where you are. No matter what your past is, just be faithful. God's going to bless that faithfulness, and one day, you will have rejoicing in that, in the presence of God. Let's go ahead and pray.